with Texas Peninsula University of Technology Council. I remind you again, members, of the oversight that we had to the institution, and that we had received reports from everyone that was there except from the council. We have then scheduled a meeting today to continue with the reports and continue with what we have asked the council to present to us at the meeting that we were at the university a couple of weeks ago. We have asked that the council respond to other issues that arose at that meeting also. We have expressed our unhappiness to the council of not making themselves available at that meeting, and we are of the view that it was a wrong decision that the council took not to be at that meeting, but have decided to send some people there. So this is where we are at. We are indeed happy to see that the chairperson has joined us of the council. May I take this opportunity to welcome all of you to this meeting. And unless there's anything from your side, honourable member, if we can then allow the council to members to introduce themselves to the house. And you can maybe just tell us that you introduced yourself, you know, whether you have a designation or not. And inform us also which council members are not here and why. Unless there's anything from your side, honourable members? Honourable Kikana?
Chair, fully on your steps. I also want to emphasize to Councillor that this is your opportunity for you to outline issues that you have. We've had issues from the university trade union, everybody was reporting about cancer there. But this is your opportunity to tell the portfolio what issues on your side that you are having, because it is a portfolio that can assist you. And if you keep away or you don't reveal what is the problem as far as you are concerned, we can be able to assist you. So I'm just saying, like the chair has said, open up, tell us what your issues, irrespective of what we have said, so that you are given the opportunity to give us your side of the story, so that we hear both sides of the story. Thank you.
Let's start with the chair of the council and for everyone to be introduced.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair of the committee, Honourable members, members of council, members of staff, constituency, and everybody. Thank you. Chairperson, we are privileged to be here in this meeting. And maybe before I request individual members to introduce themselves, you know, which some of them, most of them, are chairpersons of the subcommittee of council, I will apologize for the fact that some members could not make it to the meeting. And for reasons that I did indicate, and I want to emphasize the fact that it is most often chairperson very difficult to actually urge everybody on council to come to committee, particularly members who are external members of council, for reasons that I have given in my correspondence to the chairperson of the committee. And if I'm given an opportunity, I will state those reasons. And I will state them with due respect and understanding, full understanding of the role of the committee, the oversight responsibilities of the committee. However, that in most instances, it becomes difficult to the major kinds of function and operate to actually compare the those members to be here. I will talk to that given the opportunity. Chairperson, also, I must say that underway at city meeting is one of the most important events of the ceremony, the graduation of students. Today, we have started off with our summer graduation, with our autumn graduation. And we will appreciate the fact that the chancellor of the university is one of the own. That is the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Honorable Tani Mutumi. But due to her commitment, she couldn't attend to the summer graduation today. That compels the vice chancellor. And in this instance, our acting vice chancellor to actually have been there to check the students. That also goes with the fact that the register of the university is a person who kept to roll the students. And unfortunately, you will appreciate, Honorable Member, that graduation comes. It is an honorable memory for every student and parent. And as we speak, there are gathered in our auditorium for graduation. And unfortunately, our trying to rationalize that we also have to play. Country has a role to play during that moment. And unfortunately, one of the reasons that I knew was to say, that this moment is a wonderful moment, and unfortunately, those students and their fellow teachers that are a long time for them will not have these critical people present in their program. Chair, without wasting time, I will introduce myself. I'm the chairperson of council. My name is Yoko Yoko. Let's meet with the register, and I will members of Kansas to introduce themselves to the committee and their organization. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members and the chair. My name is Nikhil Baba. I'm the registrar, the deputy, and the secretary of council. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Thato Molaulo. I'm the deputy chairperson of CPUT Council. Just on another note, we request assistance with the charter here. Thank you.
A very good afternoon to you, honorable members of the portfolio committee. I'm Chris Kitapo.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members of the committee. My name is Mevo Magida. I'm a member of the council as well as the chairperson of the HR committee of the council.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Kat Kruger. I'm a ministerial appointee to the council.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Ashley Finn and I'm a member of council.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Becky Hartley. I am the council member and chairperson of the Physical Planning Committee of Council. I'm also the president of Security Convocation.
Good, Becky has a member of the committee. We have a member of parliament with exactly the same names and
good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Ikshan Higgins. I'm an attorney by profession and I'm an external council member of CPUT. I was on the finance committee and also on the governance and ethics committee. Thank you for having us here.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Charles Eppner. I am a
good afternoon, Chairperson and the honourable members. My name is Zuko Mapoma. I'm the member of the council.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Chris Blair. I am an external council member and I serve on the Remuneration Committee, the Human Resource Committee and the Audit Committee.
Thank you very much. Now we know each other in the room. Chairperson, you will direct us on how the presentations will be done and who will do it. I think the honourable member has made it clear already. We hold no vengeance against this committee. What we simply wanted and would like to continue to have the council is an important at the university. We left with a very bitter taste in our mouth after that meeting when everyone accused you of all sorts of things. You were not there to defend yourself and you were not there to say these are the efforts that the council is making to do a range of different things. And so you robbed yourself terribly that day of taking that opportunity. We have nevertheless decided to grant you another opportunity. So as much as we hear what you say, Chair of the Council, we are so resolute that it's the right thing for us to continue with the meeting today and that you present yourself in what we have asked earlier on, because our concern is learning and teaching must continue. We want a university that must continue to shine out there, that must not be known for all sorts of other things other than, and to be honest, you are known for more negative things, and you are in the best position to set the record straight, if indeed that is the case, to satisfy Parliament that indeed monies that we appropriated, all of you, are going into the direction that it's supposed to and that the outcome of it is what we desire both constitutionally and legislatively and as far as all the other policy precepts and principles is concerned and that we are preoccupied with the main thing and that is our young people and how we take them through insofar as education is concerned. And that's our business and that will remain our oversight and function. So I'm going to ask us to, you will direct us in how the presentation is going to be done. Of course we have time constraints, but let's just see how we do it. Honourable Killian, you want the floor before they start.
Chairperson, sorry, I just concerned about what the Chairperson of Council has said. If there is indeed a gathering, can we just have an indication of when the proceedings will start? Because it would be very, can I say, sad for students who have worked hard if the VC is not there to catch them. So can we just get an indication that we could do both? We could get them to report or to leave the information with us so that we can either release VC or council so that we can reconvene later. But the point that I'm just making is that I don't want to delay the graduation proceedings. Thank you, Chair.
Vice Chancellor?
Chair, the first question started this morning. So we are already out of
person. The second person could be a two, so we are also out of that as well, because there are actually proofs that must have been happened before. So we made a contingency plan or propose that we continue.
All right, a contingency plan has been put in place. Chair of the council, director.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think, let me start by saying, indeed, as council, we do appreciate and we do recognize and we do have an understanding that everybody can take into account to what comes. Chair, having said that, the issue then was our location in relation to. However, the issue is that, and having been said by the vice, that there are contingency plans that have been made. However, my issue is that they want to, we have done that. Chairperson, I think as council, let's apologize for the fact that we couldn't meet in the and I've tried to explain the reasons. I think, Chair, it is important that I indicate to the committee the complexity of being a member of council. Members of council, they comprise of plus minus 30% being internal members of council, that is comprising of internal people from the Senate, the Vice Chancellor, as well as students, we have student representatives in our council. Okay. I will try. Chair, the issue there is that you have external members of council that are more or less 60% of council. These are people, and we have stated on our report, that these are people who are offering a voluntary service to the university. They are valued to employ in different sectors. They are only their business. You will appreciate, Chair, even now, that actually there was, we were anticipating a huge number of students. But as we speak, they were pulling out in an application because they were saying that, unfortunately, there is no for instance, one of our members is the representative of the Premier of the State because of the Premier of the Western State. Initially, it was coming, but the Premier has called to say there is an urgent meeting that we should attend. Honorable Chair, you can't force that person who offered a voluntary community service. We have to say your approach is not. There is a representative of the mayor of the Premier who sits on council. Unfortunately, Honorable Chair, she couldn't be with us today because there are urgent matters of council that require you. And many, and it becomes maybe this committee can advise us on how to do it. It becomes, Chair, when you wait and look at their responsibilities, other responsibilities in their work community, it becomes difficult to say to that body who is offering the service as a community person, a voluntary person, to say you are compelled to come here. Which is why we always plead and request people. We are asking the community to bear with us that practically, all of us can, it's so complex to manage that situation. As a result, I have also tried to make the community understand that. We conduct our business usually on a Saturday, on Saturday, that within the evening, so as to allow this individual to stand fully at the other left one cleansing, and that we do the compromise. And the compromise we are suffering once in a quarter, they are afternoon or evening. As a result, you appreciate all of them as a chair. When I say to you, during Christmas fall, which is the most time when you need a council to convene, we would convene from 7 to the up until 4 in the evening. And those members of all of the chair, they will be expected to report in their respective ways. This is the nature of the service that is offered and you can bring it. Others will think that they have taken it in for what to be seen, which is also quite complex. The deputy chair of council has taken it in order for him to be here. So that is the arrangement. And sometimes you will know better that he is the motion. When duty calls him, the council calls, they will, it will be suggested that unfortunately it cannot be. Similarly to those who are holding their community, that becomes the same. So I have not checked this before probably. There is a notion that suggests that we are not honoring the community. That's how it has explained that. It is a very complex thing. It is very complex. And we are trying to manage that grateful that we are getting large numbers because of that. And maybe my presentation, Honorable Chair, what we have done is to address some of the issues you have asked. One of them is the role of council in terms of good service, and in terms of Section 27 of the High Education Act. And as established by the functions prescribed in Section 17 of the City Judicial Statute, that stipulates the function of council. Having indicated that 60% of the members of council are telemembers of council, and those members, the people of the chairperson, they are not paid, unlike office. They serve their own time. They receive what we call a stipend. That actually addresses their incidental expenses in chair when they are paid. We chairperson, honorable chairperson, have council committee and chairperson. So each term of the council, each term of council, we establish committee. That is what we call an executive committee. That comprises of all chairpersons of that committee. There is a committee of human resources. The chairperson is here. There is an audit and risk oversight committee. There's a remuneration committee of council. The physical planning committee, the chairperson for that, is here. The remuneration committee, the chairperson is an executive member of council. So who is that? Do you know that committee? We have the finance committee. We have the governance and ethics committee that is chaired by the member and said, what initially coming to the meeting? Who is the representative? But unfortunately, due to his advertisement, he had to go out. There is an ICT government committee. There is a search and selection committee for senior appointments. That committee is an ad hoc committee of council and honorable chairs. So this is every of these committees. We have formal terms of reference that guard each committee that have been created, established, and approved. They get presented government and this committee, and then they will be approved by council. And part of that is that here we have experts who's meeting in each and every committee of council. They advise on a number of things. They are not necessarily the silent council members. There are also external people. They come and get invited to meetings of the committee and advise the committee on a number of issues and on issues that affect the issue. We also, as a committee, according to the Act, are allowed to sort out independent professional advice, which mostly is provided by the members that are referred to, that we refer to. And the Senate House of Council, at all times, assist council committees and members to obtain such advice. As it went to the issue, they will sort and ask them to that. Come to the convening, the meeting of council and council committees and collaboration. Council, as per the legislation, is supposed to meet four times a day and one in a quarter. However, you will appreciate honorable chairperson members of this committee that the fees must fall one third of the country. It was from 2015, council met on the 15th of March, on the 5th of June, on the 19th of June, 20th of June, on the 5th of September, on the 29th of October, on the 27th of November, on the 28th of November. You will see that we were better. Because in each and every of those meetings, on average, as opposed to the fact that we do not convene, we were able to convene because each time we were formed. And I must say, what I have said, I appreciate what you have said, that we missed the opportunity indeed to actually try and refine our defense that we can do. There is not a single one I have said meeting of the council when we do convene. We all do. Actually, we have not. We have 25 members of the council. And also, you find that all of them are present. And present that they will sit up until 10 days. So it is not the trust to suggest that. We are needed to suggest that we don't know. I joined the council in 2014. There's not a single issue of council where we couldn't convene because of the So we had a total meeting, 8 meetings of council in 2015. In 2015, that became the issue. The dates are set for the benefit of the people. A total 10 meetings out of the had to be. And in addition, on our mission, we have what we call our workshop, where we have managed the entire administration of the university, just to reference and to input on what needs to happen and what you think is getting. So what we will do to convene midterm in June, we convene a workshop. And then in end of the year, we always have a that runs up here prior to our council meeting, the year end council meeting. So each time we always join you will see that again in 2017, we have a total of 11 meetings out of possibly 6 meetings at the most that we have had. Because and I must emphasize that That includes much for what Mamas have tapped for us. And I must highlight that Sibyl Buti was among the few universities that actually, if I may put it, there were demands. One of those demands was this water. It is quite a complex process that we had to undertake. What we did was to form up a task team comprising of the leadership of counseling, that is the expo of counseling, comprising of the administration as led by the vice chancellor, comprising of student leaders, comprising of the workers themselves, so that we have a common understanding on how we move on issues. We call that formation an RTT that we designed late last year. That it was addressing all factors around the business for the demand that involves resourcing, those demands involve free education, those demands involve issues pertaining to accommodation, etc., etc. We tried our best on our mission to actually resolve that. And having said, we are among the first universities that actually implemented the resourcing program. Remember, the resourcing requires financing. We have convened a number of meetings with our finance committee to ensure that every when we agree, we have enough funds in our budget that we're not fighting for. That even took us to actually agree as council to take part of our investment funds to actually put into within that. Accommodation is a challenge at stability. And I don't want to talk about at that university as individuals. And in part, in our previous council meeting, one of the things we learned was that there is a notion in building our system and mindset that if you get accommodated as a student, we have that take for something. And this committee, with due respect, again, will agree with me that in terms of the subsidies getting from the Department of Higher Education and Learning, but also honorable chair, the nature of students who come to the community, payment is an issue. You'll find that awful. We find it difficult to collect fees from our students. And we understand because they come from poor backgrounds and somehow they have to live with each other. And one of the things we have said to ourselves in our previous council in March, at the end of March, another picture was that actually we need to be clear and in our message that as and when we accommodate students, we enroll students, it is not automatic that those students will be accommodated. We need to clarify that upfront. That we will provide accommodation, but unfortunately, it can, we will not have enough resources that are accommodating students, that each and every student has to have accommodation. We have tried, the management will talk to the number that we have accommodated. And honorable chair, as opposed to what is presented out there in the media, we are among the few universities that have a minimal figure of students who are not accommodated. And our faculty are controlled and this is the future. Honestly, Chair, let me go to the issue around leadership in faculty and have indicated the nature of counseling. Honestly, Chair, I can safely say we have one of the most strong counselors, robust in its nature of in one team. To the poor leaders, you will find that our meeting, instead of ending at 2, then we go on accounting 5 o'clock in the evening. We had a scenario of five chancellors. That it is reported that we had 4 ethnic vice chancellors in a period of a year. That is not the truth on our teacher and on our members. We only had 2 ethnic vice chancellors upon the vice chancellor. Since the suspension of our vice chancellor, that is Dominic. And we have a report that is underway coming to this committee that we have given to the Department of Higher Education and Training upon and we have requested on the department to provide ourselves around that report or the actual report to this committee. That is, in that report, we are correcting the fact that we had 2 acting vice chancellors. We suspended our vice chancellor, Dr. Nebuta, around 26th October. And there was a process around that that includes an investigation. And on the eve, Honorable Chair, of the findings to be presented by the external chairperson who sent for the to preside over the disciplinary hearing, the Vice Chancellor issued us with the former Vice Chancellor with a resolution. We were forced to accept it. We accepted it. And in the course of him being on suspension, we were compelled to have an acting president. We appointed the acting vice chancellor, who was one of our own. That is Professor Follow, who will probably be known to many of us. And he had said for 6 months, when we received a letter of resignation from the minister, the then minister, former minister of higher education and training, Dr. Nima, to actually stipulate to us that our appointment should have been consulted with him in the first place, because the incumbent consent was a ministerial appointment. So he indicated to us that it was an error that was at that time, and we accepted that what we were looking for is somebody who is quite experienced in this field, who actually would be able to pull everybody together, and who has been in the field for many years. But we apologize for the oversight that in the first place we're supposed to have consulted. So we had to withdraw Professor Fondi. And it was 6 months after, and then we had decided in council to appoint the current acting vice chancellor, who is Dr. Gap, who is one of the DVCs, that is the deputy vice chancellor, responsible for research at the university. He is still on our chair. So there were never disposed to it. If there is for, I don't know what that information. It's one of the information. That we appreciate that you have given us the opportunity to present to this committee and to the commission. We are in the process of appointing a vice chancellor since the resignation of Dr. Abraham. And I must say, because we have observed the resignation, the claim of Dr. Abraham as opposed to our claim and thinking, it provides. And I must admit that it prolonged beyond our contract because we couldn't do anything in heaven when he was bringing lawyers to the court, changing lawyers. And we were also of the same fact. This was a purposely derailed and divinity. But unfortunately, because of our laws, we were bound to have the children to actually accept that. And eventually, we were glad that we have already started that process. And if allowed, we have the chairperson of the HR committee, who we have given a responsibility to, and his committee, so that it is a robust, transparent process that is open. We live in the case, so we have workshops with honorable chairperson and members of the committee. That it will be transparent, so that we also avoid our mistakes of the past in accounting, and we will agree with you. That it is a very important in a process. And we are hoping to finish and complete the appointment before the end of our term, which is in August. So according to the plan that Mr. Magilda will announce honorable chair, it can be that plan we will bring to the attention of the Department of Education that we now have. I will not go into detail in relation to the plan and the development. We address the issue around the field of education. Council, honorable chairperson and members of the committee, has only a responsibility to input into the appointment of members of the executive from grade 1 to 4. That is the deans of faculty and executive managers, as well as the vice chancellor having indicated, and then the deputy vice chancellor. And this council, in this term, has appointed the executive director, infrastructure development and facilities management, Ms. Busisi Wesibanda, who assumed the responsibility as of August 2015. We appointed the executive director in the office of the vice chancellor, who has since resigned, Dr. Mkadela. We have appointed the executive director of human capital, Mr. Mondi, who apparently we realized that he had two acceptance letters and he chose the other based on the fact that he is originally from Johannesburg and the other appointment was in Johannesburg. So he resigned within himself. We have then appointed an executive director late last year who assumed the responsibility in placement of that, who is Ms. Amanda Helder, who has resumed duties as of the 1st of February today. We have appointed the Dean of Business and Management Sciences, Professor Paul Green, as of February, beginning of. We have appointed the Dean of Engineering, Professor Marshall Sheldon, who assumed her responsibilities beginning of January this year, as well as the acting Dean of Students, Mr. Bonsilevo. Our Dean of Students, because of many issues that also are aligned to this platform, decided voluntarily to go on education, and we appointed an acting dean of students, Mr. Wong, whose position is currently advertised. We have advertisements that were printed in this council. The vice chancellor has indicated that due to the resignation of Dr. Mkhari, the deputy vice chancellor, teaching and learning, the current incumbent is retired in December 2018. Has served almost 7 years. Yes, at CPUC. And then the Dean of Students we have also advertised that, because the person we have come to is a patient. So those are the only three conditions that we have advertised. The rest we have removed. The other issue we intended and we asked to address, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee, is the oversight on implementation of policies by management. Council, having indicated, we have discharged our responsibility in assisting and actually ensuring good governance practices are in place in the community. We received quarterly reports from the following structure, the senior management, and that is done in each and every meeting we have. There is an item we have, which is the Vice Chancellor's report, and Country Committee report is supplemented that. We have reports on Senate and academic matters. We receive a report from what we call the Institutional Forum of the Council, which is a stakeholder in the organization. And in that forum, we have two members of council who are both members of that forum. We receive direct reports from stakeholders, and we exhaust all those reports. We receive reports from student representatives from time to time. So when it comes to oversight and implementation of policy, we absorb those reports and we talk to them, and I have outlined all interventions that have been made by council up to date, partially and impartially. Chairman.
Sorry to disturb you. Has anyone picked up an ID book? Can you just look around and see if all this came in now? Help us with moving the presentation a little bit faster.
so that we can have enough time to have a meaningful engagement also. So Chairperson, can you assist us?
I'll try to best chair. By lowering my voice, first and foremost, I'm trying. Maybe I don't have to use this mic. Chair, I have indicated quite a number of scenarios, but maybe I needed to highlight one fact, that we have external auditors, Chair, that often audit our operations as CASA. And I must mention that we have indicated or listed all our meetings, all our financial statements, all the issues pertaining to country intervention, etc., etc. And I must mention the fact that in all these 3 years of this council, we have not had one. We always have an unqualified report. For us, that speaks volumes in terms of us at least carrying the report. I wanted to mention, honorable members, the fact that when it comes to accommodation, one of the issues that are pertinent is the fact that if you look at our report from 2014, Council has been addressing issues pertaining to residents. And in 2016, this council had actually given a mandate to the previous Vice-Chancellor who resigned to investigate the allegations against corruption in our residents. And he resigned. And we have now given that mandate to the current acting chancellor. And we are expecting a report in our chief council meeting, a preliminary report that is talking to that. And one of our suspicions is even the fact that the early retirement of the dean of students, it's a suspicion, is as a result of what could be defined in respect to that. And it is to say we are dealing with the matter. We have labor issues that have been dealt with by this council. I have mentioned earlier the issues around resources that we have out of all odds tried to manage. And I must mention that as and when we are resourcing workers based on what the demands of the system as for, we realized quite a number of scenarios. And one of those scenarios was the fact that the workers that were employed, that we had to resource, mainly were not South Africans. They were not in position of aunties, etc., etc. And obviously, honorable members, you will have a harbor, people who want to enforce being employed. But unfortunately, we had to eliminate others. And that process was a very complex one, as can you mention. So we were dealing with all sorts of issues. The issues of packaging them and integrating them into the mainstream, that involves that the requirement is for them to be on medical policy and whatnot, it was quite an intense process that requires a lot of time and a lot of resources in ensuring that we also liken them to the rest of our that they have all those privileges and everything that goes on. The other issue pertaining to labor is the wage negotiation that we had also managed as security and under the leadership of the Security Council. You will appreciate, honorable members, the fact that we have acted to the best interest of all our stakeholders. As a result, CPUD, unlike many other institutions that we learn about, is the fact that we never had an issue around labor dispute. We never had that encounter. If it's there, it will be contained in a split second, in a very short period of time.
it will have ended. So those are some of the things I can pride ourselves and this country to say, our fiduciary duty, we have at all times this place. I have mentioned quite a number of things, the student matter in this report, that the issue of council meetings, the audit findings and residencies, etc., those we have provided in this report. The issues around residencies, we have mentioned all those matters. The insourcing, I have highlighted, and the issues of the investigation. Those issues that are still outstanding, and to club all issues together. One of the things I think is pertinent to me to report in this meeting, Honourable Members, is the fact that we have decided that let's lump together all discrepancies in our council. And at this council, we have recommended and have implemented in consultation with the Department of Higher Education and Training, in consultation with the Department of Justice, because we had to utilize one of the retired judges, that is Justice, in our establishment of a commission. We had established a commission that is going to lump everything and look into all discrepancies, including this foreign report, the findings. Even ourselves as countries, if there are any involvement that are erroneous about ourselves, we have a presentation that we have already made and we are expected to appear before the Gateso Commission so that we answer to our issues as countries. So I must indicate that we are trying to minimize all tensions. We are trying to actually come up with an atmosphere that is conducive. And one of the things this commission is looking at is the climate and culture service of the university. The issues around internal audit reports on residency. The issues around council in local residence inspections and everything around that. So we have this commission that we have established. We have consulted with the department. We have consulted with the Department of Justice as well as the Office of the Chief Justice. They are really quite much aware about what is happening at the community. But also it is an attempt to make sure that we stabilize the university. As and when we have to actually punish, I mean to use that word, people, it is built on the findings and everything that has been done. Madam Chairperson, I know for a fact that you had indicated that there is little time for us. One assurance I can give to this committee is the fact that under this council, a lot has happened. We have tried, Madam Chair, a great deal to ensure that we bring back the city of the university to a point that we have been chosen to hold. Can I give to the city of Trento to him?
Yes. Chairperson, the portfolio committee, we have been chosen to host the Pan African Space Institute. And indeed, yesterday we actually sent off our second satellite, and we had Honorable Mamoloko Kubai doing that actually send off yesterday. These are positive news that we'd like to hear.
Chair, you will appreciate the fact that even our alumni is alive. We were boasting as council that when the State of the Nation address was presented by the President of the Republic, it was made mention of the students of stability. Yes. So we are trying, we want to assure this committee, and we will accept your feedback. We do accept that you will feedback. But we are trying our level best. And one of the deliverables that we can assure you with is that we are going to leave a stable university by appointing the Vice Chancellor. We will give that report in the form to this committee through the Department of Higher Education. If there's any other matter that members of council do so. Thank you very much.
I thought that his hand was up. Vice Chancellor, anything? You gave us quite an elaborate report the last time. No, I'm just asking if there's anything that you'd like to add. I wouldn't want you to start with that report you gave us.
No, Chair. No, Chair. No, Chair. I don't want you. I don't want you.
You should have seen him. He was walking around the room with his report directing us to.
Yes, Chair.
We enjoyed it.
I will not, Chair. Safe to say that there were issues of corruption that were actually mentioned in the newspaper. And really, this was actually referring to two residents. And I think that was actually an exaggeration of some sort. I only wanted to add to what the chairperson is actually saying, that we would really like the committee to assist us as well in terms of ensuring that only positive news are said about CPT, because the whole question of severe failure of governance are not part and parcel of CPT's vocabulary.
Commission, Deputy?
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Chair of Portfolio Committee. It's just to emphasize on two critical points that I think they really speak volume to us as the oversight body of the institution. That in the past 4 years, Chair, that we have been there as this particular council, even in the midst of us taking through a vice chancellor in a disciplinary process, something unheard of in the nation, something unheard of in the industry, that is higher education sector. It was a show of us as the oversight council that we take our fiduciary responsibility very seriously. We cannot encourage him to cleanse the system below him, but us fail to place him to account for some of the errors that we identified. And as a result, we did that. There was never vacuum in the leadership of the university. We always ensured that there is contingency plans. Council is always available to support executive management where it's required and needed. And so does the all the unqualified reports reflect. And we've got no basis to undermine or question those unqualified reports, because the work that was put there, we know it ourselves, we have critiqued it ourselves. The local inspections that we have done on residents, Madam Chairperson, it was us having realized that we cannot remain at the governance level and not intervene when there is perpetual a cry by students. We intervened, we did those two inspections as the council. And as a result, that brought forward a master plan of maintenance plan that is going to address some of the issues. Yes, of course, we've got budgetary issues that we have escalated with the Department of Higher Education and Training for support in terms of finances. But that doesn't end there. We look within our resource and budgetary process to ensure that we address some of the maintenance issues that emerged from that particular inspection. So those are two critical things that I just thought we should emphasize on that. The stability in the administration, executive management, all DVCs are there in the system. They've been there, they are still there. So the only issue there is that the Vice Chancellor has resigned. I don't know if the Vice Chancellor resigned, it's an instability. I'm not too sure if that represents instability. But as far as I'm concerned, is that contingency plans have been made by this council to ensure that there is stability in that particular portfolio. Thank you, Chair.
Last addition.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. As I've indicated earlier on, that I'm the President of Consultation, by virtue I serve as a council member. I wanted to add on issue of council intervening on student-related matters, that within our term of office, for the first time, we have organized two student assemblies where we've gathered all the stakeholders within the institution to listen to them. That was the initiative of this council. Council members were deployed. One of the student assembly was disrupted and interrupted by the students themselves. Some of us were held hostage. We had to be escorted by security outside. But that is the extent of which we've extended our oversight role and responsibility in engaging with students. We even went over and above that after having been held at ransom and held hostage to say we are still going to continue engage with all affiliated student structures within the institution. And council approved that, and that mandate was given to convocation. We have engaged on the 21st of April 2017 with student structures. We even intervened when the SRC was at loggerheads, internally fighting, wanting to reshuffle and disband themselves. Council deployed council members to mediate. We were able to reach an amicable solution and rescue the SRC against the internal politics fighting amongst themselves. So that's an extent at which council has been engaging in terms of making sure that we are accessible to students, we listen, and more importantly, we intervene as and when we are called upon to do so.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to add on to what my colleague has said now, that being an external council member, I appreciate the challenges that our exco and our permanent members actually have to endure on a daily basis. We actually have a situation where we are called upon to come to meetings. And when we get there, and at the Balgo campus, you first faced with a whole lot of windows that are actually still broken, because every time the windows get fixed, it gets thrown in again. So you firstly walk into that scenario. Then you sit in a council meeting, and the minute you start hearing songs outside, singing outside, you really start getting nervous, because you don't know what's going to happen. And that happens to us at almost all our meetings which we have there, which I think this council is extremely brave to still even be there at that particular venue. I mean, there was a time when we took the meetings off campus, but I don't think that's what leaders do. Leaders actually stand there in the midst of the battle. So we are in that battle constantly. So I just wanted to reiterate what my colleague has said, not just before this, you know, that serving on the CPUT Council for me is a voluntary thing, and for some people it's a permanent thing and it's their livelihood, but it's done under extremely difficult circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was actually waiting for DHET to make their presentation, but we have read through it. Chairperson, first of all, I just want to thank the council for coming. And if we have disrupted their program, we sincerely apologize. I was not aware that it was the day of students receiving their graduation certificates and diplomas and degrees, etc. And we really apologize for that. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to say that I think it was important for us to engage, and
and I really want to sincerely thank you for coming, because if we don't talk to each other, we have no understanding of each other's respective roles. We are being called upon as politicians to say that you're doing nothing to hold this institution to account. We, on the other hand, don't have a comprehensive information about what is happening. You sometimes tend to get select information. Now, Chip, I think what we have heard is a matter of grave concern with regard to the student protest action on campus. We've seen that for ourselves. We have been very distraught to see some important facilities, and I mean the sort of appearance of those buildings and some of it burned down, etc. It's very disheartening. And we want to, first of all, ensure that those who are responsible are held accountable for it. And concern that I have is, I don't know to what extent, because I am aware that the students are saying it's not us, it's rogue elements. So how do you know who the culprits are? Do we have any sort of campus evidence that could be presented in these instances? Because if people are being held to account, they will be less likely to do that. Secondly, I would like to know if council has ever considered, as a sort of a part of a student support package, leadership development programs. People come from very impoverished backgrounds, have no understanding of responsibilities. If you are elected to a student representative council, at least you should be a leader and you should develop those abilities. So is council doing anything like that so that we can avoid physical clashes but teach young people to voice concerns, etc., in an ordinary manner? Thirdly, I would like to suggest that, maybe I'm harsh if I say that, but I had the sense, and because the institution is in my constituency, I have a special, Jefferson, you will understand that I have a special appreciation for what they have achieved, especially at what they're doing. And academically, you have such an important role to play. So I want you to eradicate problems. The problem of student residence, we cannot ignore that. And the sense that I had was, I was not aware of a maintenance plan of student residences, that there's a sort of a multi-year plan to upgrade and improve current residences whilst new residences are built. And as far as that is concerned, Chair, I'm concerned that I read from the departmental presentation that money was allocated, 126 million, but these funds have not yet been spent. Can council perhaps indicate to us? And please, we don't expect council to manage. We want council to keep management accountable. So please, we don't want to burden you further. We want you to just be able to manage. And a further 60 million was in fact offered by the department, as I understand, provided that they provide you with the necessary project management skills. My recommendation to them would be, please accept that, because project management is a specialized field and it consumes time. So if you have that offer to manage your procurement processes and to manage your project management processes, otherwise some of the tenderers and contractors get away with looting, and we all know that. So let them assist with that sort of facility. Chair, then lastly, it is important that they get in place an elected body of student representative leadership. I understand the current dilemma, because you have a sort of a toxic environment, but somehow it is important that you have your different campuses and the leadership there. If you have good relationship at specific campuses, ask them to help identify constructive leadership and send them on leadership development courses. That's the only way that we will restore multi-party stakeholder participation to constructively change the institution for the better. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to commend the Council for such an explanation, because we have heard the one side of the story, and your representative, in terms of the minutes that I have read, didn't have much to say in the meeting that was held at CPUT. It is also important to always have the two sides of the story. Now that you've explained, I think it makes sense. I so wish that in your implementation plan, you have an implementation plan, I think it's point number five, you could have at least put in time frame, you know. I see that you've identified the most important parts of your challenges, and you have a plan as to how to address those, but if you have at least put in a time frame, it would have, you know, made sense. But there are just a few issues that I would like you to, you know, when you're responding, even if you're not going to be responding now, to consider and give us a clarity on that. There was an issue of the Netflix where 5,000 applications were received, but only 103 were sent to Netflix, that's that claim. The issue of accommodation has been covered. And then there's also an issue of the, apparently you had students that have been raised in the campus. What plans are there, you know, for you to prevent that? Maintenance has been covered. There's also an issue of transport. Apparently there are students who are traveling between the Bellville campus and Cape Town campus, and they're complaining that there's only one bus that only leaves at 7 in the morning and in the afternoon at 5. They say some of them end up not attending class because there's only one and some are left behind. And then the issue of insourcing the benefits. If you can sort of claim, because there are claims or allegations that people are only getting 600 rand for medical aid, not the full medical aid. These are just allegations, but you can just explain, because apparently the benefits and also the salary scale, in terms of your salary scale, the minimum, I think it's 7.9, and the cleaners are getting 5.9 for those allegations. And I think that is all on my part. My colleague next to me has covered some of the issues that I wanted to raise. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I'll try to be short because of pressures of time. The first one, and this I think when we discuss as a committee, we'll have to discuss further, the issue of volunteering. In my understanding, when the and remember we're dealing with about 25 universities in this country, when they advertise for posts like this, they've got to make it clear that this is voluntary or this is a salary-paying job, a permanent job. So that people who get into it get into something that they know what it is all about. I don't think it's fair to get people in positions only to find out that they are not paid salaries. If it was advertised that it is a full-time occupation with a salary, then that must be explained upfront and the salary must be mentioned. That's the normal way of doing things. I must also emphasize this point that we dealing with about 25 universities, 26 actually, and thank you for correction. And by so saying, I'm saying all these things that you've mentioned, we know about the fees must fall, how difficult it was, we know about dangers that are there at universities, because it happened to all these universities. What alarmed me personally, to be honest, is when we went there and we got this attitude that this council is not there because it was happening for the first time. We've never done an oversight that the council is not there. I know even for graduation, some of the universities have many graduation in a year because of, I presume, the student body population they have. I know that when I graduated, what was important to me was have somebody conferring a degree on me. That photo is still there to me in a big frame. Just that situation of somebody conferring, I can't even remember who it was. But I don't know if the Senate is there. In other words, I'd advise that the Senate, I mean the Council is a very important body of the university. It should be obviously bound by other businesses. I would like to miss its interaction with portfolio committee because this is very important. In case you have a problem, we need to assist you and resolve those problems because of a graduation. I would say if there are people there who graduate students, that suffices, but the interaction with the highest body in the country, which is Parliament, will assist you more than just attending ceremoniously a graduation, because this is the body that will make changes. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Let me join the former speakers that I think there is a change of attitude after this presentation, because remember if you are not there, people speak about you, speak about whatever you are doing, immediately it comes to mind a judgment. There comes a judgment to say, based on the presentation, in the absence of maybe the committee, it means 1, 2, 3. So, Chair, I think it's human nature. It's human nature. Remember, the chairperson of, is it the chairperson of SACWA? Yeah, in a preamble, quoted to us about the familiar speech given by the former President Mandela about education. All I'm trying to drive back home, Chairperson, is that voluntarism, I think it's one of the liberating tool which has been used. I see it as if this is the start of liberating ourselves, because we didn't have formal structure in the past. Voluntarism, I think, is one of those things. But Chair, my proposal is that I think the council should receive the conversation and the reports which we, as a result of the meeting where the council was not present, because there are quite a number of issues. Some of them are allegations, some of them are factual. But in the presentation, I did not even hear the response to the allegations by the stakeholders. So it will remain as if this was just a meeting which did not respond
to the presentation made by stakeholders in that meeting. I must say, Chairperson, that I'm one of those who were not satisfied about the manner in which the council was said to be operating. So I would propose, Chairperson, that maybe in our next meeting, maybe them going went through to the minutes and everything, we might at least get a response from that, and I would be happy, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to all those that have presented and contributed to this conversation that we have. I think the opening remarks of the Chairperson of the Council has made us to rethink voluntarism. It was as though it's something that when people accept or put themselves into, they don't understand what it is. What Honorable Kekana has said, that it is not the first council of a university or any other institution. The challenge, what made this one to be as though there was something, it's because of how the matter was dealt with. There are cases where council chairpersons or members might send someone who is there, but it's done properly. I think that is the one thing. So, as you have presented, Chairperson, I got to understand that there is work that is done by the council at CPUT, but then when you tried to apologize and making us see that people are not always available, then you ask yourself, how legitimate is that report? Because as a person is speaking, you are critically listening so that you are trying to match what a person is saying. In the report, it's a different story. You're meeting, you've set several meetings, even though per year you're supposed to have four meetings, but you have had more than that. It means that people are able to avail themselves if they want to. So I wanted to cut that part as if I didn't hear where you were making all those apologies and trying to give us reasons why you were not part of the meeting, or why you had excuses also for this one. Because now it then conflicts what you have said in the report and the willingness of people to avail themselves in a meeting. I would like the department, in light of this, to explain whether council members know what they're getting themselves into, because now we're getting something else. It's a matter that we really didn't, because we thought people know when they are council members what they're supposed to do, and if you put yourself to say, no, I'm available, it means that you will attend. If you are not, no. Don't be part of that if you cannot avail yourself. After the presentation, like I said, I was very pleased to hear of what you are doing at the institution, but I'm left with a question. Why is there always noise at CPUT? Because some of the things, it's what is happening in other institutions as well. Maybe we are not dealing with the real issue, Chairperson. I want them to tell me, why are there always issues? The other member of the council said when they are in meetings, when you hear people singing and then now you get scared, why is there always a battle like what he has referred to? What is the battle about at CPUT? Whatever we have dealt with here, is it really addressing the core, the real issues that are affecting the institution? That is what we should be asking ourselves, because what we have at the end, it's a very good story, people are agreeing, but in the report of the committee, the unions were very adamant that the council is not doing its job. So what we have here today, it's not what people have heard when they visited the institution. It's not what is happening practically at the institution. There is noise at CPUT. What is it? So that we can be able to understand, and you can be able also to attend to the real issues. That is what we must try to find out here, not what we have listened to. It is part, but maybe there is something else. I was still listening. But there's something. Maybe as you go back, you can rethink and be able to identify that this is the challenge in our institution. Honorable Killian has covered me on the issue of residence of student housing, and maybe one can add that we accelerate the appointment of the VC, because it might be one of the factors also, I'm not sure, that we need to accelerate this one so that there is stability. Doesn't mean that there is no stability when there is an acting VC, it's not a problem, but there might be other things that we're not aware of. So we need to accelerate that one. Even the not, this thing of the 126 million that is not utilized, it's a very pressing issue. When you get money for student housing, the department has availed it, but it's not utilized. Who is to blame? The department? No. So there are those issues that we really need to think seriously about at CPUT. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, just before you answer, I'm not sure if you actually clarified to us. You went through a lengthy period of investigating the previous Vice Chancellor. You then accepted the letter of resignation. What happened to the issue? We didn't hear that part. What happened to the issue as to why you were suspended? And I'm not sure what the outcome actually was of the investigation. We don't think it is a good idea that people think they can get away by just resigning. It can't be. So we don't hear the council telling us, notwithstanding the fact that he resigned, because the matters were the following, we have decided to pursue. I don't know what the issues are. They were all in the media. You are the best to tell us what it was. And then added to that, so this is 2016 that all of this happened. No, he's suspended since 2016, I think. Or is it? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the instability that we're talking about. Because anyone at the helm of the institution, in the main, is the Vice Chancellor. The Vice Chancellor must take decisions on a daily basis. The acting Vice Chancellor has a limited decision making insofar as, especially, you know, longitudinal issues that needs to be done. It's got nothing to do with the current character of the Vice Chancellor. It's got to do with the fact that any place, if you don't have a permanent person there, there's a range of things that can't. The Vice Chancellor doesn't know, must I give a strat plan, must I give a that, all of those kind of things. Added to that, and why I'm saying that also, is we've had a couple of engagement with a group of your staff that came here to Parliament to engage us. And this is also why we felt the need for the Vice Chancellor is quite urgent. We have then gave you the issues that they raised, and they wanted to know again. They were putting severe pressure on us, also on the issues that they were raising. And then this matter also came up at the meeting, and they were extremely unhappy around the methodology that you have then undertaken to address the issue insofar as staff placements and staff promotions and so on. And one of the big things that they were talking about is the fact that they feel that they are not being recognized, especially as South Africans, as they were saying. They too have PhDs and so on, and they are overlooked. We think it's a matter that we mustn't just brush aside, because like CPUT, there are other institutions that are starting to complain about the same matter. We have engaged with them and said we can't discuss the matter as if it is, what is the word? We don't want to sound as if we are anti people from other parts of the continent. And we have, what's the word? Yes. We must not sound xenophobic, but we have advised them, thank you members, we have advised them to find out what is the, you know, there's a plan that the Department of Labor have, which is part of your equity plan and all of that. Now, there was a huge outcry at the last meeting about this thing. The Vice Chancellor would know. He put his foot out also wrong in one of his one of his responses, and it sparked another thing. We think it's in your best interest to look at it, to do a proper investigation into it, because in academia they are complaining that South Africans are being overlooked and that other people have been given opportunities. You know best what you do there. I am not saying it is so, or I'm not saying it is not so. But you know, they go as far as saying, look, there's one person that comes from Nigeria, and this is all Nigerians over there now, in that one particular faculty. And so, that's the link to which they have gone. We want to encourage you. You can't overlook that. You must convince us that your equity plans and your equity committee that you have there is in place. I know that you did land up at the Department of Labor, and you had some legal cases that you either won or lost or whatever. Those things were said in the meeting. So if you can speak to that. Then there was a long list of things around transformation at the university, and again, it seems like this is one of the matters, honourable, that is, you know, underlying that creates all of the unhappiness that is at the institution. I want to ask, what are you putting in place to make sure that those students that decided they will not sign anything says that they are not receiving anything from NASFAS? Our information is, and I think they probably said it in that meeting, there are some students who are still on a campaign that says we won't sign. They either didn't hear there's free education in the country now. They've got to comply by, you know, register, do the following things. You can only do, NASFAS can only receive it like this and so on.
may we appreciate what your understanding is of that. I want to agree with what some of the members have said. It is very difficult, having listened to all the stakeholders that we have listened to, and we listen to yourself, and they don't tell you. Either somebody is lying, or it's just the nature of how things are at. So what I want to suggest is, we think it will be the correct thing for you, not now in this meeting. We think it will be the correct thing for you to, if you don't have it, we can provide you with all the submissions that were made at the meeting, and ask you to respond to them all individually to the committee, so that we can then hear the issues that the students are raising. This is your understanding, but also in the council, this is how we are addressing it. So the issues that the myriad of unions that are there are raising in the council, this is how you have dealt with it. There was one that had a submission like this that gave us in the meeting. Now surely, I don't think that all of them could have just made up this issue. I agree with the members. You can't have so many of your stakeholders being anti the council. Why are they so much anti the council to the extent where they feel you must all resign and you must go? Now, either there's something wrong with you, or there's something wrong with them, or it is just CPUT is one of those institutions where that's the culture. And so people understand the institution to function in that kind of manner. So you will help us then if you look at the issues that were raised, but you will then also say to us, these are the suggestions that you would like to make moving forward. Because we think that one of the things that we say wherever we go, and we say to students also, do you have a plan to rebuild that which you've burned down? And we think we must have a conversation to hold people accountable on those things. We are not assisting young people when we make them feel it is good that you can only choose one path to engage. We think it's not the right thing. We think that you too have the responsibility to inculcate in what are the different options that we have, and to the department we have asked, what are they putting in place to help put in place a mechanism for parties to dialogue. We don't see sufficient dialogue at universities. We only see one method. Bash the windows, burn down the doors, and hold the Vice Chancellor hostage. Adam was forced to sit down on the floor. Adam, now, you are training them, and you are teaching them, and they are our future leaders. So if you don't get it right, who must get it right, other than their parents or guardians, whoever are raising them, have raised them. So if you're not getting it right, who else must get it right? And we think out of universities come very many good research. And so what research is there that says, why can't we have proper dialogue in our institutions where the parties can sit like this with each other, but only resorting to a particular method of wanting to get what they want to? Doesn't it bother you that we are not then training young people in your institutions that will be confident enough when they go out there in the world of work, that they will then understand that they will have to engage with people when they're outside of universities? There are no one out there that is just going to receive anyone from your universities that says, I'm here to first smash down the door before I'm going to start working. So I think it's a good conversation that we can have. So I want to ask that you, in your
presentation that you were sent back to us, having read through the submissions, tell us what are your own plans that you want to put in place to have a harmonious engagement with your stakeholders, because they're not going to disappear. They are always, the reason why you have a university is because they are students. The reason why you are there, they are there, is because you have to learn, you have to educate them. Our dispensation in the country is such that we can, people have the right to form trade unions, so they're not going to go away, they are always going to be there. And so, therefore, accepting that reality, what then are you putting in place to make sure that there's a stakeholder? We can't have a situation where somebody says he's scared to go to a meeting because when he hears the song, depending on what the name of the song is, it's probably the song that they're singing that scares him very much. I want to suggest, honorable members, that instead of asking you to respond to everything, we don't think that we have received everything in this meeting. The other part of hearing what they have said in the submissions that they've given is extremely important for us, and that we do require your response as a council to that also. That doesn't mean that we feel that they're going to say, yeah, Parliament is fine now. You know that we listen to them and Parliament is not, hasn't listened to us. We think we must have a holistic picture so that we can fully understand and appreciate the challenges that are at the institution, or maybe there are not any challenges at the institution. It's just the nature of the game of how the stakeholders are with each other. And that the questions, maybe if you want to answer one or two of the questions, but we think it will be far better if you respond to us in detail, in writing to us on all the issues. I can see the members are shaking their head in agreement with that. So what I'm going to do is, Chair of the Council, maybe just give closing remarks. But before you do that, was there something from the department? I think there was somebody that asked you a question.
Just to answer one question, Chairperson. But maybe also just to say that thank you very much for this engagement, because it's actually very helpful to us to engage with the scope and the level of detail of the discussion that the stakeholders have presented and that the Council has responded to. And maybe just to say, not talking to my presentation per se, that many of the problems that are raised are problems that are issues across the sector. Maybe just to put it in that context, to say that, you know, the issues of, I mean, if you look, for example, at DUT, this year had the most protracted strike of 7 weeks, which has affected all kinds of things, including, of course, NSFAS payments. And, you know, even the university has admitted that fact. So I think that there are a huge range of challenges, but I think it's useful every now and then for us to reflect on those. But I think I just wanted to just say that about the context, that these are all of these issues, including issues of student leadership and different engagements and how engagements seem to take place in some institutions, that those are not problems that are confined to CPUT. And maybe also to say, and sometime we'll come and tell you as a department about the things that we need to do to try and support the institutions in all of those areas. Just in terms of council members, certainly when council members are appointed, it's very clear to council members the role that they play, that it's not a, that it's a public service role, and it's a complex role, and we certainly give them that information. And not only that, but in a sense, you do need to have a certain, employment stature in a way to be able to be a council member, because you wouldn't be able to have a job where you have to be present in that job 30 days a month, because council members do have to avail themselves for day-long meetings, quite often working on weekends and evenings. And so you do have to have the kind of job where you have that flexibility. But it's very clear. There are some councils, by the way, that do pay, that do remunerate their council members for work that's done, and that's determined by the statutes of the individual institutions. The Act allows for that flexibility. And normally, most councils will have around five or six meetings per year, scheduled meetings, but of course, the external members are often called upon to participate in the subcommittees of council, and it's that where the time commitments are often really loaded. But you'll find that universities will work around those in terms of people's hours. One of the biggest challenges is getting council members who are based in the location of the university, at least some, because you don't want a situation where the university is spending a lot of money on flying their external council members between cities. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Just closing remarks, Chairperson. I align myself with what the members have said. It's difficult in Parliament when you say what you have said right at the beginning, and that is that, you know, this is a voluntary job and so on. You remember when you speak here, you speak to the public. All the radios are connected. When you press your button, you speak to all the radio stations in the country, and all your television cameras goes right into CNN when you speak here. So when you say things like that, they say, CPUT has now decided that they want money, then they will come to meetings. You know how they like to do it. So I think it was unfortunate that was said, Chairperson. It's not what you mean, I know.
I'm not so sure if we're in one mind. We were just thinking ourselves. In fact, let me clarify this by saying, you know, one of the members of the council was asking to leave, and I was pleading with him, and was telling you that, are you aware that we get fined 2,000 if we don't sit in a meeting where he was supposed to have gone? So those are some of the things. I should think the Department of Health Education has to help us to actually iron out this problem. Having said that, I appreciate the responses that were provided by the portfolio committee members. And you had indicated that probably we need to sum them up, but also to actually provide a comprehensive report where there are gaps to actually look into filling them in our report that we are promising and undertaking that we will provide to you. Chair, there were pertinent issues that were raised by various members. And one of those was the points that were raised by Honorable Gillian that talks to what is it that we are doing, how do we hold people accountable. And probably it is the fight to respond to this committee to say, up to this far, Honorable Member, we have expelled 12 students because of indiscipline at the university. And I should think in our report we will provide those details. And in relation to trying to mold trained students, we have undertaken, if you look at page 10 and 11 of our correspondence, we have highlighted the multidisciplinary approach that we are undertaking. Where we are training students, one, we have a responsibility to instill discipline at the university. The second aspect is the fact that through IF, we have endorsed a certain resolution in respect to issues of indiscipline. But most critical is the fact that there is a management via Student Affairs Division that is looking into the implementation program, awareness program, to conscientize on how to deal with issues of strike, protest, exodus, and whatnot, without ruining public protest properties, without impinging on other people's rights, etc. So that is in process. I wanted to talk to
the issues that we're going to provide responses to, the time frames in our plan of implementation, this will detail that to the committee. The issues of rent and whatnot, but also that in your report that you're going to give to council in June, that will be talking to that. That also encompasses issues around and so forth. One of the guidelines, the issue of voluntary that I think we have given that aspect.
Don't answer all of them. I really want to give you an opportunity to
I'm trying.
Yeah, don't answer all of them. I thought just some closing remarks because we want to give you an opportunity on your own also to
I just wanted to highlight one fundamental aspect, Honourable Chair. The dynamic nature of disability. If you recall, disability has amalgamated two big institutions, the Trade Peninsula, as well as the Pentec, formerly known as the Pentec, and the Cape Town cover. We are in a process of trying to deal with that. It involves quite a number of dimensions. Racially based, socially, financially, it is not an easy one, Madam Chairperson. We are trying our level best, out of all odds, to look into that. Madam Chair, we are going to provide a report in relation to the resolution of the challenge. We have taken note of the issues we have raised. We are probably we need to be guided by this meeting because these reports are with the Department of Higher Education. Probably, I don't know how else we could provide because we also follow the protocol. I don't know how we should ensure that, or we should ensure that these reports are received by the we will ask guidance from the committee on how to ensure that you do receive information that you will provide to the department as an oversight body responsible for this whole sector. The issues that relate to NESPAS, I must say that whilst there are fever in many areas around that, I should think this committee will appreciate the fact that some are politically inclined, where you will find that there are politics at play in relation to this. But we are trying to gain our level best. Madam Chair, lastly, what we have presented is good enough with documents. That for me is a sign that it can be at any given moment. Some people were given verbal information. We have documented and were prepared to even bring up this documentation as proof that anyone can take and test this information that you have provided. I must say there are trends that we will ask this committee and the department to handle. The issue of the growing trend of unionizing institutions of learning is something that we need to speak. That is an institution, is something we need to speak to. I'm not making any, but there is a growing trend that there is a collusion between students and unions. And who suffers is the students at the end of it. We need, I'm just telling you that we need to open all these issues. Honourable Chair, we are available at all costs to actually come and account here.
All right.
We will, and we will seek your guidance, and we will make a plea and request to say that maybe people very and will afford us to ensure that we are here in London. And I must say, even today, and see that at least you will agree with me when you share with us. Thank you very much.
Okay, honourable members, as I thank you very much for this meeting, may I say, Vice Chancellor Aitman, you almost spoiled it there by talking about the fact that we must debate. We actually can't debate unionisation. There are laws in this country that provide for that, and we have a constitution that also provides for that. Now so I don't want to give you the impression that we're going to debate something that it's not going to happen. We're not going to debate about unionization and who's to be blamed for who and who's colluding with who. We can give you a great lesson maybe on tactics and strategy. We are happy to provide some discussion to you on that. But we're not going to discuss the constitutionality and stuff like that. As I, Honourable Mullah Sugar, I wanted to close, but there's something urgent. It's okay. All right, so no, we are actually closing the meeting. No more hands, bless you. We're actually closing. So this is what we are saying. We're asking that we are thankful that you have come to this meeting. We appreciate the majority of the council members being here. We are saying that we still need to have answers on the submissions that have been made to us and the council's response thereto. There were additional things that we have said here in the meeting that we're requesting you to respond to. We remain concerned that the parties are at odds with each other at the institution, and that indeed does put a question mark, you know, on the stability of the institution. We remain convinced that the instability at the leadership level, that a vice chancellor is needed at the institution, higher education and training department, sooner than later, because it's the correct thing that needs to happen, and they need to be assisted to speed up the process, and that we will engage with yourself further. How we will engage with yourself again, we will communicate with yourself. We might call you again like this, we might come to you, we might ask further anything in writing and so on. But that we think as a parting shot that we ask the council to continue to provide that leadership that is required there. We don't think it's going to be helpful to have an attitude of let's just also fight with everyone. It's not going to help you at all. And that we wish you well for the year ahead. And we trust that you can still go to the Vice Chancellor to some parts of the graduation. But we appreciate that you took the time to come today, notwithstanding all of that. It doesn't make us feel very good that we have to take you away there, but I think you understand the need and the urgency and why we thought it was important to do that. On that basis, honourable members, I have no reason to keep you here any longer other than seeing you at the next Wednesday's meeting. It's our intention to bring the Human Rights Commission before the committee next week that will speak to transformation in higher education and training. On that basis, honourable members, I bring the meeting to close. Thank you very much, everyone.